First Canto, chapter 5, text number 16. The Supreme Lord is unlimited. Only a very expert personality, retired from the activities of material happiness, deserves to understand this knowledge of spiritual values. Therefore, those who are not so well situated due to material attachment should be shown the ways of transcendental realization by your goodness through descriptions of the transcendental activities of the Supreme Lord. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Theological science is a difficult subject, especially when it deals with the transcendental nature of God. It is not a subject matter to be understood by persons who are too much attached to material activities. Only the very expert who have almost retired from materialistic activities by culture of spiritual knowledge can be admitted to the study of this great science. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is clearly stated that out of many hundreds and thousands of men, only one person deserves to enter into the transcendental realization. And out of many thousands of such transcendentally realized persons, only a few can understand the theological science specifically dealing with God as a person. Sri Vyasadeva is therefore advised by Narada to describe the science of God directly by relating his transcendental activities. Vyasadeva is himself a personality expert in the science, and he is unattached to material enjoyment. Therefore, he is the right person to describe it, and Sukadeva Goswami, the son of Vyasadeva, is the right person to receive it. Srimad Bhagavatam is the topmost theological science, therefore it can react on the layman as medical medicinal doses, because it the activities of the Lord. There is no difference between the Lord and the literature. The literature is the actual literary incarnation of the Lord. So the layman can hear the narration of the activities of the Lord, thereby they are able to associate with the Lord and thus gradually become purified from material diseases. The expert devotees also can discover novel ways and means to convert the non-devotees in terms of particular time and circumstance. Devotional service is dynamic activity, and the expert devotees can find out competent means to inject it into the dull brains of the materialistic population. Such a transcendental activities of the devotees for the service of the Lord can bring a new order of life to the foolish society of materialistic men. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his subsequent followers exhibited expert dexterity in this connection. By following the same method, one can bring the materialistic men of this age of quarrel into order for peaceful life and transcendental realization. Chapsur umilitanyena tasya shri gurave namah shri chaitanya manovisam stapitam yena bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaya Dadati Swaha Vandeham Shri Guru Shisha Sarat Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Sha Shri Rupam Sajajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Sabadutam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalitaha Shivishakan Vitam Cha. Anshakalpa Chubis Cha, Kripa Sindhu Vyev Cha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale. Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharne Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Pashyacharya. Mukam karoti vachanam pangam mangai te garim. Tat kripa tamaham vande shri guru dinatar. That prayer is very nice also. It says a blind man, by the mercy of the guru, a blind man can see stars in the sky, and a lame man can climb mountains, and a dumb man can speak eloquently. So that's what we hope for. By the mercy of Guru, if we can speak anything, it's only by the mercy of the Guru. So we pray to the Guru and the Gurus and all the devotees, you know, that Krishna will use us to speak for whatever we're doing, actually. Preaching is something that's good, more or less forces us to depend on Krishna. But we have to do that even for the most ordinary activities. Realize that we can't move anything, we can't blink without the life air is moving in certain ways, we can't do anything. But by Krishna, ultimately by the demigods, and then ultimately by Krishna, that we can do anything. Speak anything, or even just sweep the floor. So one can be a pure devotee sweeping the floor or cutting vegetables or cleaning the toilet, but we might not think I have to depend on Krishna to do this. This is very easy. But if we're preaching, usually we realize, you know, we have to depend on Krishna. Otherwise, no matter how beautiful we are, no matter how nicely we can talk, nobody cares. Until we really pray to Krishna to have mercy on the people. So it was interesting here, you know, this, I was reading the purport, actually the verse. So somehow this word personality got, you know, I touched it somehow. And then, if you know how these things work. And then it says, so I hit the define, actually by accident completely. So it goes to the dictionary. So we talk about personality, we talk about the personality of Godhead. People sometimes say, why does it say that? Why don't you just say God? But Prabhupada wanted to make it clear, he's a person, and a special. So personality is defined. It's a combination of characteristics or qualities that form an individual's distinctive character. So we say he has some kind of personality. He has a nice personality. He has a nasty, you know, he has a sweet personality. We're all defined. We're all personalities. They can even say each kind of whiskey has its own personality. And somebody Victor because of personality, like, oh my God, Brother Vaisheshika, he has a very, you know, far-out personality. So like for book distribution, you could get inspired by him very much, but you can't copy because it's all just his personality. You can try to say the same thing, but it won't be the same. Then another definition is qualities that make someone interesting or popular. Qualities that make someone interesting or popular. So, of course, Krishna is the supreme personality. Then it just means sometimes a famous person. He's a sports personality, or he's an acting personality. So that's Krishna as the supreme personality and of Godhead, not just God. He's the topmost of all the gods. He's the chief of all the gods. The head. So it's saying it's not an easy thing to understand this personality of Godhead. Especially when spiritual science is talking about the nature of the personality of Godhead. It's not for everyone. People are too much attached to materialistic life. They can't understand. And many don't want to understand. because they're envious and they don't want to think. Even they say, like we say, like many people believe that, and they're right, that there's more advanced life on other planets, at least materially advanced. They believe that, but modern, they don't want, you know, people don't want to believe that because they want to try to convince us that we're the most advanced. Whatever human society is now is the most advanced. And basically they want to judge advancement by technological, right? Because basically everyone lived by the same kinds of technology for so many thousands of years. You know, they had shovels, they dug a well, they plowed with the animal, or they just, in Africa they don't even use the animal, the men just, they work so hard, they just go and they just dig up everything like unbelievably fast, big fields, and then they plant all their stuff and they grow their food. You know, and they've been doing that the same way for, but then all of a sudden they've got so many machines to do everything. And they're thinking it's much more advanced. And, you know, people were talking forever, talking to each other. But now we can't talk. I just saw the news that there was a guy on the train in San Francisco, like, you know, the local train. And four or five times he took out a big gun, a .45. It's a big one. One time he, you know, and he was, nobody noticed it, and finally he shot somebody. And when they looked at the movie, that the, you know, the camera, everybody was, you know, everybody on the train was doing something on their pad. And nobody noticed this guy waving a gun around. Four or five times he took out the gun. He didn't even see it, or to speak of ignoring it. So they're saying that, you know, technology, this type of technology is it. But we know from the Bhagavatam that, you know, higher planets, they have interplanetary travel like anything. They have telepathy. You know, they can previously, guru and disciple could communicate without even being in the same place, just by. And people have this telepathy to some extent now, sometimes, but nobody has it refined where they can just use it whenever they want. So many things that, you know, look how advanced we are. Can build skyscrapers, build, you know, like if you go to, well, Bob Dylan, when he, one of his first songs, when he went to New York, he said, train, you know, buildings going up to the sky, trains going under the ground. He came from a very small town in Minnesota, just where they, iron mining town. And Hibbing, I've been in an unbelievable place. And one of my friends is from there also. And he said, like Friday night when the boys, the high school boys, you know, they would just drive around the downtown, but it only took a couple minutes, you know, just to go around all the buildings. So if they got to the red light, it would be exciting because then it would take longer. So, you know, he went to New York and that looks like really wonderful. Now it's much more wonderful. Buildings are taller and trains are faster. And, you know, but it's still the same thing. It's not advancement. Really advancement means it's spiritual. There's more disease now with all the medicine and all the hospitals and all the medical, you know, miraculous medical advances, there's more and more disease and more painful kinds of death. You know, people don't just grow old and just die peacefully with their family. They suffer for years and years with terrible pain and so much, sometimes surgeries and, you know, tubes everywhere. But they're saying it's much better now, and people are thinking. So we know about the other planets and stuff, but even some people have some idea. Many scientists know there must be more advanced, you know, technologically advanced. Some maybe even more as a whole, but the Earth is still the best place to take birth, and that's the mystery. Because here is a chance to get out. The heavenly planet is too nice. And, you know, they don't feel the impetus to have to take the spiritual life or do any austerity. It's nice. It's like Hawaii. You can ask Sarasvati about Hawaii. He visited there. He said, it was so nice. I felt like just staying there. And then he said, yeah, when Prabhupada was there, he could translate much more than other places. Because his weather was very good for his health. He was translating more than other places. But still, he wouldn't stay there, even though it was so much more comfortable for him. Because he wanted to travel and, you know, help the devotees. But what to speak of the heavenly planets. I was sitting with one devotee in Hawaii, and he was writing a postcard to his sister. I guess it was the first time he was there. He was saying, oh, it's just like heaven here. I said, no, it's not like, you know, the people here, the native people, their favorite food is a pig, you know. That's not heaven. Heaven, everyone is vegetarian. They eat only ghee and everything is completely nice. But it's like that, you know. Some devotees that are just kind of like, you know, they just want to live away from, they live in Hawaii in the forest. And they don't need anything. There's waterfalls and there's papayas and bananas and mangoes growing everywhere. And they don't have, they just need a little bit to keep the rain off. You know. It never gets cold or hot. So they don't get much impetus there to really surrender. Even a lot of devotees there, they just think everything's all right. So what to speak of the heavenly planet? And the hellish planet is too much suffering, so they can't think of, you know, either. But here, it's in between. There's enough suffering to make us realize, you know, there's got to be some alternative to them. But it's not that bad, you know, for most people. Some people, it's almost like hellish. They really have to struggle. They don't get food, you know, they're suffering all the time. But it's... When Lord Chaitanya, Gopal Chapla was it, the one who offended Sri Vas Thakur and he got leprosy. So he was suffering a lot. And the first time he saw Lord Chaitanya, he was still puffed up. And he was saying, you should save me. You're supposed to be the great merciful Lord. You know, you should relieve me of this suffering. You know, like I didn't do anything wrong or something. And Lord Chaitanya said, you've offended Sri Vas Thakur. You'll have to suffer like this your whole life, and then you'll go to hell and suffer much more. So it looks like, you know, Bhakti Sirtha Maharaj enlightened me on that. Because I had been visiting a devotee that died of AIDS in the hospital. And, you know, there was another guy there that was, and it was just such a hellish. And I was thinking that maybe that because they suffer so much, you know, they don't have to go to hell. But no, they have to go to hell and suffer even more for, you know, some kind of sinful activities. So that's, but here we have a chance. You know. to get out. Like there's some impetus, you know, that it's not so nice, but it's not so bad in general. So people get some idea, you know, there must be something better. They want to pray for, even they're praying for material welfare. At least they're praying. Heavenly plans, they don't think about. They might do some worship of Vishnu and stuff, but it's not the same. It's just their thing, you know. So the, you know, this is special mercy. That we have, you know, Vasudev gave us the Vedas. It's not like he made a mistake to write all the Vedas. Now, these instructions, Narada is giving to Vyas, Krishna is giving to Arjuna, and it's all for us. You know, these people are like Arjuna is play acting, but he really got the role. But you know, to be bewildered, he's an intimate devotee of Krishna. But Krishna covered him over to be bewildered so that he could have a stage for speaking the Bhagavad Gita. Prakrit Maharaj was a pure devotee. He worshipped Krishna since he was before he was born in the womb. So he really didn't need to, you know, for his own liberation, didn't need to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. As a child, he never played with other children. He had murti, he had deities, and he did deity worship. And even when he was the king, he spent a lot of time in Vrindavan. And we heard about Prabhupada when he didn't go to visit that deity, Sheshashayi. That's one of the 108 deities that was installed by Parikshit. He installed 108 deities in Vrindavan. So some of them we still know, they're still there, or we know where they are. And he's the one that arranged mapping out the, you know, the Parikamatra, the 12 different forests, and so many things he did, along with Krishna's great grandson, Vajra Nabha. But he was still the king, and he was, you know, managing the entire world and taking care of Kali and keeping Kali out. So he was a complete devotee from, you know, before he was born, because Krishna saved him in the womb. So he saw Krishna and he was always looking for Krishna ever since. But still he came and he was inquiring, like, what should I do? I'm going to die. And then that gave the stage for the Bhagavatam to be spoken and recorded. That's for us. It's also for him, the devotee. It's not, the devotee may not need to hear that, but he wants to. You know, he relishes. So the sages said right away, you know, Namishranya, tell us more and more, because we never get tired of hearing this nectar about Krishna. And Arjuna said, also tell me more. I never get tired of hearing. Never tire. Never enough. So that's what we want to get, that taste. That's what it means to have a taste or become lowly and greedy for Krishna. Like people are greedy, they want more, usually money. Some people are greedy for food, you know, greedy for sex. They just, all they can think about is how to get more. Rich people. You know, they have more money, they have no idea how much money they have. They have so much, and every day it's increasing from the interest, and they can't possibly keep track, but they're always scheming how to get more. Like they need it. They just love making money. Some of them become generous and start to give it away. And we should follow their example. We have Krishna, we should want to distribute it. It's not like we lose if we give it away. Some people think if I give charity, then I'll lose. But actually, they gain. And the more we try to give Krishna, the more he helps us understand him, and the more we get by chanting publicly, by trying to talk about Krishna amongst the devotees, you know, for mothers, teach the children about Krishna, then Krishna enlivens it. So understand more and more. The more you give, the more you get. So good people in the material world, I just heard a story about one guy named Donald Trump. You heard him? He's a famous billionaire. Very, very famous. He's a show-off guy. He went broke a few times, got rich again. So one time his car broke, and his battery on his phone also was. So one guy stopped and helped him. You know, you can use my phone. Didn't know who he was. The guy that stopped didn't know. And so he said, is there anything I can do for you? You help me. He said, well, you could send some flowers to my wife. So the flowers came, and there was a note. And he said, tell your wife that the mortgage on your house is paid. Because for him, that's nothing. You know, a few $100,000. He makes a profit by giving it. But people do things like that. And what to speak of Krishna? You do a little bit for Krishna. You know, he's much more nice than any of us. He'll do much, much more for you. And, but, you know, we may not believe that, but the more people want to know, how can I get this? You just keep giving to Krishna and you'll see how much he gives back. Like we offer the bhoga all the time before we eat, so we gradually realize, well, that, you know, we're gaining by this. There's no loss. That few minutes that it takes that, you know, the food becomes much better. There's always enough for everybody. You know, that's, so we learn we can give everything. The more we give everything to Krishna, that's the goal. Jadarani, she was a very brilliant book distributor. So she would ask people for donation. And they would say, well, how much should I give? She'd say, well, Krishna says you should give everything. But I know you can't do that, but just give as much as you can. The book says you should give everything. Sarva Dharma, you know, that, because there's no loss to give to Krishna, to give to a good person even, you know, there's no loss. They'll give you back. Prabhupada said that, you know, he was telling a story of, he said, they say that your servant, you know, you should give him presents, even though you pay, that, you know, like in India, they have a servant, so he lives in the house and they pay him a salary. But he said you should still give presents because they do so much for you. This is a funny story. So Prabhupada liked very expensive rice. So his, you know, the servant can't afford that. He had few servants. So he was giving them this high class rice. Then the servants came and they said, you know, please, can we just have the regular rice? They don't like that. They like the heavy, you know, they don't like the really high rice. But still, the idea is you give the servants. So Krishna, he gives the servants unlimited. But some people are thinking, well, it'll be, you know, material gain. But that's not necessarily, he may take away all those. But he gives you peace, he gives you himself. And when someone has Krishna, then they'll be completely happy in any condition. They won't be bewildered if they get rich. And they won't be bewildered if they don't have anything. They'll be happy. That's what Krishna is saying. Equal in all these different conditions. But sometimes it's easier to tolerate suffering. We can think, oh, you know, somehow or other. But say you suddenly inherited, like, you know, huge money. You know, if you lose everything, you might pray, Krishna, oh, Krishna, Krishna. But if you suddenly get so much money, you might think, oh, now what can I do? You know, everybody's going to bow down to me now. And I can... One woman, she was a... She wrote those Harry Potter books. Somehow Maharaj, he mentioned that yesterday. In Japan, they say Hari Poda. Hari, they say Hari. Hari, Hari Poda. Sounds like Hari Pad. But all over Japan was big signs. Hari Poda, Hari. Hari, Hari, everywhere big signs. Hari. Very, you know, very, very popular. Anyway, she got really rich all of a sudden. So she started, you know, giving her friends like a lot of money, thinking I'll help them. And then she said that, you know, she lost a lot of friends. They didn't, you know, they felt like insulted or something. Oh, you're so poor, I'll help you. So Krishna might not give us, you know, lots of money, even though it seems like, you know, if we had some money, we could do so much preaching. Why doesn't Krishna give us? Why doesn't he give me, you know, if I had so much money, I could build a big temple here, I could, you know, have a big festival party there. Why doesn't he give me? Because that's not what we really need to. If we're very pure, he might give it, he might not. That's Krishna. Prabhupada, in one purport, he mentioned that when the bus parties were traveling around with the deities and they were, you know, trying to have festivals, and he was stating, he said, if they chant their rounds every day and strictly follow the principles, they'll be successful. He didn't say if they get, like, you know, so much things, then they'll make the move. If they follow the regulated principles and chant their rounds. So he may give someone to distribute hundreds of books every day, someone else to distribute one book a week, you know. But if they chant their rounds and follow the principles, they'll be very successful. I've heard more than one story of one Maharaj, I think it was in Sweden, she was out all day and nobody would take a book. Finally she was crying and crying, literally like a woman, you know, just crying. And some guy took a book. And when she went back to temple, that guy was at the temple. And he moved in. And he became a book distributor. Huh? Yeah, this, you know, this happened, we hear many times. So you never know. I may distribute 100 books and everybody just throws them in the garbage. You may distribute one book and that person becomes a devotee. You don't know what Krishna is doing. And the books in the garbage, somebody may find it and become a devotee. That's also happened many times. You know, people, oh, that looks nice. Why is that nice book in the garbage? And they take it out and they become devoted. Other people give a big donation, take it home, never look at it. Krishna's in the heart and they get what they can take, you know. But devotees pray all the time, please, Krishna, help us. And if we're ourselves pure, at least we'll be happy. And the more we become happy in our whatever we're doing in our presentation, then people are attracted. People want to join. What are you doing? Whether they're just curious or, you know, who knows what. Yesterday we got out of the car and you were there. And a group of high school kids went by. They kind of looked at me, so I said, Hare Krishna. And then the one boy, the last one, he said, Hare Krishna. The rest of them kind of like, you know, because usually people don't talk to anybody. So then I started walking, and they had stopped up ahead of me. Then they said, "Where are you from? Do you believe Hare Krishna? Can we take pictures of you?" Then they just relaxed, and they all got out their iPhones. Yeah, we think having an iPhone makes me special, but every high school kid's got it, right? In Japan, every high school kid's got it. But this is technology, like, you know, I remember when I was young, and we'd go to these exhibition things, and they were always saying that they're going to have a phone you can carry around with you. From when I was like a little kid, you know. Never happened. All of a sudden, they had them, but they were like, cost $2,000 or something. The first portable, it was only in the car or something. You know. Now they're going to make they have watches. They have a watch that's a digital phone. And an iPhone's coming out with an iWatch. So they're doing all these things. And then they're thinking, oh, wonderful, wonderful. But it hasn't, not helping the world. The only thing that's going to help is the Bhagavatam. Spiritual technology. And that technology is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And the regulative principles, it goes together. That's why when initiating, we promise we won't do this and we will do that. Right? And if we chant, you know, with an intense effort to be attentive, then following the regular principles, no matter how much Maya is dragging us, Krishna always protects us. He allows us to protect the devotee. When we have service to do, I have to do this, I have to do that. That way we stay out of Maya. Just like the karmis tell us, I don't have time. They don't have time to look at a book. They don't have time to visit the temple. Even devotees. But we don't have time for Maya. Maya says, come on, no, I don't have time. I'm busy. That should be. That's how we can stay out of Maya. It's like we lock the door, you know, theoretically to keep thieves out or something. So when we chant our rounds and follow the principle, it's like locking the door of Maya can't get in. She'll hang around because, you know, if you do look away from Krishna, she's right there. But she'll never jump in front of Krishna. If we're keeping Krishna in front, Maya will never say it. She's behind waiting for us to turn around. She's waiting for us to turn away from Krishna. And then the more we try to serve Krishna in all the different ways, we get a more of a relationship with Krishna. The supreme, we want a personality. Even dogs have a personality. All the dogs have a different. They're different. People are different. Everything about everyone is different. Even identical twins, you know, they're very similar. I heard even the DNA is the same. But their fingerprint will be different. Their voice will be different. People that get to know them, they have no problem. If you don't know them, like those twins in Mayapur, sometimes one takes the other one's passport and goes somewhere. Because nobody can tell. But the people that know them, they're very obviously different. You have to know the people. So, but everyone is different, and it's not in the Maya body. They just say that's just the body is different, but the, spiritually everything is exactly the same. But the body is the covering of the soul. So, if the body has so much individuality features, then the soul must have much more. If the material world has so many different types of flowers and so many different types of everything, species of everything, then the spiritual world has much more variety, more colors, more sounds, and you can perceive more. Here, you know, they'll tell us about all the different colors, right? From infrared, that you can't see, to ultraviolet. And we can see like a little tiny part of it. We see the red, white, and blue. What is it? The three colors? Red, yellow, and blue or something. Those are the basic colors. Yeah. Then you mix them up. So we can see a very small part of it. But in the spiritual world, there's much more. Sound, the same thing. There's so many different sounds. If it's too high or too low, we can't hear. We can only hear a certain. Some people can't hear anything. Some people, everything sounds the same. You get hearing power. But in the spiritual world, there's much more. Much more octaves, much more different things. They have a whistle that only you can't hear, but a dog. The dog's hearing is much better. The dog's nose is much better. But some people learn to use their hearing. But the real best use of the hearing is to hear about Krishna. Otherwise, what's the use? You get a hearing aid. If people get a hearing aid, then they can listen to the television news. What's the use? They're happy that, oh, now I can hear again. But if they're not hearing about Krishna, so Krishna has given us, you know, these senses, and they're like covering over the spiritual senses, so it's limited what we can perceive. But if we utilize it as much as possible to hear about Krishna, to see Krishna, to remember Krishna, talk about Krishna, all these different things we have, then we become purified and become satisfied because we have Krishna. And if Krishna gives us, you know, a big inheritance, we'll just use it all very nicely for him. Devotees have done that also. We hear in the memories of Mahavishnu Maharaj that one of the first Ratiyatra in London, they put him in charge, and he had just inherited a bunch of money from his aunt or something. So he said he was just spending money like anything, you know, putting up big, big tents, and making a really amazing Ratiyatra. And he didn't think, oh, now I don't have to live in the ashram anymore. And I can, you know, I don't have to just eat whatever they give me. He stayed living the same way, but he just used it for. Prabhupada said he has used his money very nicely. So, but sometimes devotees, they inherit a bunch of money and they think, oh, now I don't have to. Now I can enjoy. Now I don't need the temple anymore. I don't need the service. So they didn't understand. So Vyasadeva has been very kindly, you know, received these instructions and took them to heart and already gave them, and then now we have Srimad Bhagavatam. All right, any question? And here's a nice thing that Prabhupada says. Devotional service is a dynamic activity, and the expert devotees can find out competent means to inject it into the dull brains of the materialistic population.
Is this for the purpose?
No, it's a different one.
Can you say the beginning of the sentence? I mean, the first three words. Krishna consciousness is what?
The expert devotees also, those three words, discover novel ways and means to convert the non-devotees in terms of particular time and circumstance. Devotional service is a dynamic activity, and the expert devotee can find out competent means to inject it into the dull brains of the materialistic population. Such transcendental activities of the devotees for the service of the Lord. Anyway, it's very nice, right?
They do it by brain.
Huh?
They do it by brain, Krishna, and they give it
Yeah. We always pray to Krishna, help me, you know. How can I get through these? What can we do? Time and circumstance we have to consider. So even in India, Prabhupada said, don't teach any philosophy, just kirtan and prasanna. That was in the village place. And there's a story, it's a true story. Some devotee in the early days, he was in Europe somewhere. So he went to a country, you know, first time any devotees ever went. And it was one of those places, maybe Eastern Europe or something, where people really responded. And he didn't speak the language. So he was just having kirtan and prasad, and he had big crowds coming. And then a devotee came that's from that country, and he gave a lecture. And the next week, nobody came. He said, well, what did you say? He said, well, I told him about the regulated principle. No meat eating, no gambling, anymore. I don't want this. So people need to get purified. So the prasadam and the kirtan is the purifying. So sometimes that's the best thing. Is just, you know, don't say very much. Be friendly, you know, and just try to get everyone to chant, or if it's prasadam time, try to get them to eat more. eat more. Because sometimes they eat so much they can't go home. They have to stay. And then you get a chance to make the money. But when they're eating, they should concentrate on eating. You know. Not trying to tell them all that, you know, explain the Vedanta Sutras or something. All right? That's a great famous saying into the dull brains of the material. These verses are really good because it's Narada Muni's direct instructions about the Bhagavatam. And then Prabhupada's purports are full of that kind of encouragement. So Prabhupada, you know, he knew how to do it. In the beginning, he just kirtan. He gave classes, but he had a lot of kirtan. And he didn't, you know, worry about the people brought all kinds of instruments and they would play them and they would dance completely crazy sometimes. One of the old movies, I was wondering what the devotees were thinking. But they were dancing like, you know, like walking. And, you know. The Prabhupada said, I was experimenting to see if these people in America would chant, you know. Then after he got some people chanting and they became like a little bit normal, then he started to regulate things a little. When they brought the tape of the San Francisco kirtan to New York. In New York, there was few devotees and they were a little conservative, like you have to do it only a certain way. They had all kinds of instruments and they were singing all kinds of, you know, psychedelic melodies or something. The New York devotees were thinking, you can't do that, they can't do that. These people are crazy. You know? They can't have a rock concert for Krishna. Prabhupada can't go to that. The Prabhupada liked it. He liked any enthusiastic chanting. And the more we can get more people to chant, the better. So you saw, like, in Jerusalem, and then, you know, it's a good idea to just... Now this kirtan thing is popular. People know that word. You just say kirtan or bhajan or something. People like to come. In fact, other people have them around in this country. Just Israeli people that have been to India, they get an instrument and they come back and they have their... But usually they learn some Hindi songs and stuff. But sometimes they chant Hare Krishna. But we want to give them, you know, with devotees. And then they get interested. Who is this Krishna anyway? Just by chanting his name, I feel so good. Who is he? They want to know. What is this food anyway? Why does it taste so good? Right. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Arya Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai.